Hey guys, coming at you from TD Curran in Kirkland. You're listening to Command Tab. This is our podcast all about Apple products and rumors.
I'm George.
I'm Ben.
This week we're going to talk about HomeKit.
HomeKit. HomeKit is a really interesting venture on Apple's part. It's new, isn't it?
Yeah, they're making the smart home a whole lot smarter.
Oh, yeah. So, smart HomeKit, basically, they're going to release an app and a quality program. You know, so right now they have their Made for iPhone program. It's like a quality control.
With docks and chargers.
Docks and chargers and cables and all that stuff. Anything that basically plugs into an iPad or an iPhone that is endorsed.
Or an iPod. Or an iPod. Don't forget about them.
Don't discriminate. Any iOS device, really. Just to kind of assure that the quality is up to snuff, to kind of create a consistent user experience, right? And so they're going to come out with a new MFI program that'll integrate smart devices into the Apple world, letting you control things in your home with iOS. And they're going to come out with an app called Home that will actually, kind of centralize all those controls.
Like garage door openers and lights and security cameras and
locks and your television and probably like a coffee maker and like, I don't know. Did you ever see the beginning of Flubber?
Yes.
With Robin Williams. I can't
remember very well.
He like before he wakes up, he has all his robots like cooking breakfast and like makes eggs squeezes orange juice. And
this is the start.
And it'll be just like that. It's like it's great. The Jetsons, similar. You know, Apple is going to invent like a whole like traveling tube system where you just like, you know, a little latch opens at the door at the bottom on the floor, and you just get sucked out and then you pop out with your briefcase at work.
Yep. I can see that.
Well, what problems does this solve with HomeKit?
Well, it's going to save on electricity and it's going to be convenient. So you don't have to worry about your lights staying on when you've left a room and things like that. You've left home and your TV's still on. Well, that all gets fixed and it's turned off. It makes things a lot more convenient. Like there was the example where you just tell Siri, get ready for bed, and it dims all your lights and eventually turns them off, and it locks the doors to make sure you don't forget about that stuff. It turns off the TV in the living room, and it just makes things a lot easier.
True. I think it's also going to fix the broken ecosystem. Because, you know, we mentioned it last time, last week, where you can automate your home right now. And they have those systems. They have those like touchscreen systems that's mounted on the wall, or it's like a little tablet thing that's like a custom device that'll like automatically, I don't know, network your home and connect, like control everything in your house. But it's either all custom made from one, you know, company, or, and it costs thousands and thousands of dollars, or it's, you know, all these, you have to manage like five apps with like five different interfaces, and it's all broken and confusing and complicated.
Or the third option, it's really crappy.
Or it just doesn't work, right? Yeah. So the MFI program will combat the appliances like not working, like from the get-go.
Mm-hmm.
But it'll also bring everything together into one interface.
Yeah, combine tasks and things like that. Yeah. When you leave the house, then you have your Philips Hue light bulbs and your iHome and all these other things that might be running, you have them turn off. Or when you get home, you have your Nest air conditioner turn on the AC or your heat, you know, things like that when you're within 10 minutes from home.
Man. It's... I wonder how it's going to change how we live day to day. Is it going to change how we live day to day?
Well, I mean, every time there's always these little convenient improvements, people kind of think, oh, well, it's not really going to help me that much. It's not going to save me that much time. But it's over time, those little things, they all really do add up to save you a lot of time, to make things easier for you. Like this, my smartwatch, my Pebble, just being able to see who the text is from instead of having my leg vibrate and getting out my phone and checking it. And then if it's not important, I put it back. Instead, I can look at my watch really quick and it tells me if I should actually pay attention to it or not. If I get an email from Safeway, then I know I don't need to pull out my phone to go and mess with it. If I get an email from my teacher or my boss, then I know that it's something I should probably get to really quickly. Mm-hmm. Little things like my alarm on my phone. I mean, little conveniences really do add up over time. So it makes it, it just makes it that much more simple to do all the tasks you're trying to get done already.
Right.
So while it might not seem like a huge deal, everything adding up is going to really improve things quite a bit.
Now, they do... Apple's way is kind of to make a big splash. You know? The iPhone, the iPod,
mm-hmm.
the iPad.
Something that nobody's ever
really iMac. And they like to just like... Boom! Here's a new product that's going to change the way you live.
Mm-hmm.
You know? There's been rumors of Apple... revolving this ecosystem around like a new Apple TV. Do you see that happening?
I want it to happen. I don't know. They've been talking about that for years.
I mean, I've been
hearing rumors about them releasing an actual TV. And since the first generation Apple TV, they were saying, oh, this is just kind of a premise to the actual smart TV that they're going to release.
See, I never saw that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because, I mean, the main reason is because, you know, you buy a computer every 3 or 4 years mm-hmm. because it's going to die.
Yeah.
You know, you don't buy a TV every 3 or 4 years. My grandparents have an old TV that's huge that they bought 10 years ago, you know,
mm-hmm.
and it was way super expensive then. Sure, it's cheaper now. And for the same amount of money, they could get one that's even bigger. But it's not like they're going to go out and buy a new TV every 3 or 4 years.
You know? Most people don't really...
And so having a set-top box that connects mm-hmm. to that big screen, the big screen you don't replace every two or three years, but a little set-top box that could easily add features for $200-$300 every couple of years, you know.
Yeah, it's people see it as a better value.
And right.
It's easier to upgrade that kind of stuff.
Exactly, yeah. Well, going right along with that,
mm-hmm.
Siri, they're talking about how Siri is going to... Well, basically, I'm kind of taking all this from one of the slides from the keynote that Craig Federighi was showing off when he was talking about HomeKit, and he was saying like one of the bullet points on there was Siri integration, and like if they release an Apple TV that's like the center of your home, right? Like
mm-hmm.
probably you'll be able to like just be like, "Hey Siri." You know, with that new feature that they built into iOS 8,
mm-hmm.
And just be like, "Hey Siri, you know, turn off my lights downstairs." Boom. You know, your watch, your phone, the TV, it's all going to be listening for "Hey Siri."
Mm-hmm.
And when you say that, now like boop, boop, somewhere on one of those devices, she's listening.
So a few years ago, I was thinking about how a smart home would work, and
mm-hmm.
I mean, some of the older, more primitive ideas would be that you just install microphones everywhere that kind of listen for commands, but you've got that already with an right. iPhone, an iWatch, the TV, really anything that you have made by Apple could use the microphone to
your computer
to listen. Yeah.
Damn.
I mean, you already with Google Chrome, you can already just say, "Okay, Google," if you turn on that feature, and it automatically starts listening for commands just on a browser on your computer. And, I mean, I could see them integrating that really easily. Just, "Hey Siri," and then Spotlight pops up or some sort of command listener pops up.
Yeah. Great. Well, I think we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we will continue our talk about HomeKit. welcome back. So we're here just talking about HomeKit. It's Command Tab coming at you from TD Curran over in Kirkland, Washington. George, I have a question for you.
Okay.
We've been talking about HomeKit, how it'll automate your house. Will it automatically do things without our action? Like, I don't know, run the dishes or turn off the
totally.
Lights. Oh,
totally. Yeah, I can totally see that happening. You get the Samsung or whatever dishwasher you want to get. It feels a certain weight, and then it decides, okay, now I'm going to run. You'd have to do something with...
something, but...
Yeah, that would be super easy to do that, but,
context awareness.
Mm-hmm.
Like...
time of the day, temperature in
your
house.
Is he on his way home? Is he sleeping?
You see
taking
the...
taking a shower. See, that the thing, though, is I don't know that I want all of my devices knowing what I'm doing all the time. Like, it'd be one thing to be able to just say to Siri, turn off my lights, please. Okay, Mr. Ben.
Mm-hmm.
And then my kitchen lights turn off. Cool. But to have Siri always listening to me, always knowing what I'm doing, yes, I'm putting a ginormous amount of trust into Apple.
Mm-hmm.
And Google's trying to do the same thing now, kind of trying to compete with them. And I do not trust Google in my home, like knowing everything I'm doing. But if I were, if I'm just at home, I don't know, that information is there. It's like always moving around and communicating with me and my phone and my watch if I get an iWatch.
Yeah. Yeah, but in the same way that you can turn off your location services on any phone, you actually, and most people, not most people, some people use the brand new iPhone 5S without Siri at all. They decide not to use those features. And in the same way, I feel like if those were available to you, you wouldn't need to have them listening and trying to read that context all the time.
True. I'm the kind of person, though, that's going to want to do that just because Apple created a feature that does it. And I'm going to be like, I need to implement a feature that Apple did.
Well, then you can't complain. Don't say how much you want it, but also how much you're scared of it. Because you gotta choose one. You got to choose one. Personally, I think it'd be cool to see how it all works. I can't really think of anything that I do where I'm super worried about the NSA.
I mean, it's not
NSA.
Like I have anything to hide.
Yeah, except the pirating. Shh. You're going to cut it out. I know.
I am now. Okay. what contexts maybe do you see? We've talked about heat, falling asleep, turns the heat down. Wake up, as you're waking up, it turns the heat back up. You're on your way home, it turns the heat up.
I don't know, this just popped right in my head, but I'm not sure how useful it'd be, but again, it's those little things.
I should probably preface this with a couple of features that they announced for HomeKit.
Okay.
And that is one that you can control individual devices through the Home app.
Mm-hmm.
And two, you can actually group devices into certain kind of groups or rooms, say, or floors or levels or whatever. So you could tell Siri, can you turn off everything in the kitchen?
Mm-hmm.
And boom, everything in the kitchen is off. Your coffee maker's off, the toaster's off, the fridge, which wouldn't be a good idea, the lights, et cetera, et cetera.
All the things you don't need to have running.
Mm-hmm. And she just turns them all off right away there, done.
Mm-hmm.
What
about this? A slot in your fridge where you put your lunch for work or for school, and as you're getting in the shower, it knows he's about to go to work or school or whatever he does in the day. Let's take that tray of whatever he had packed and put it outside the fridge ready for him to grab and go.
That See? Is a Jetsons vision right there.
Exactly. It's one of those things where if you have this context awareness and this automation, I can't see how hard that would be. It's a little thing that some people won't see the huge benefit, but it's something that can be done.
Well, there is also a patent that just got released that all of the rumor sites have been kind of talking about, and it's giving your iPhone settings will actually change on context, like depending on it'll mm-hmm. know, like, you know, you plug your phone into a car accessory and then it says, oh, he's in the car, so let's change the volume to a certain spot, you know, and we'll connect to the Bluetooth and we'll make it so that it locks, auto locks mm-hmm. after a certain amount of time, etc., etc.
Now he's turned off the car, power is lost from the USB, and then we turn Bluetooth off to save power.
Yeah.
We turn off navigation because he probably doesn't need that since he's out of the car now.
He
different things like that. Yeah. We turn on Wi-Fi.
He gets to work, so we turn the auto lock to a different amount of time, you know. He's at home, so the auto lock is off altogether.
Mm-hmm.
All that stuff, you know, all that stuff. And it just, or like maybe it automatically connects to AirPlay, you know, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Right there, that's kind of giving the vision that, kind of giving the vibe off that they are going to automate mm-hmm. all sorts of stuff inside the house.
Well,
context
aware settings has been around a little bit in Android, especially with Motorola for a long time. But if you can do it to where you're not having to tell it, hey, these are the kinds of settings I want, that's going to make it an Apple thing. It's going to make it an Apple feature that they're okay with having. I remember on my Droid 2 way back in the day, it had three settings, one for home, one for work, one for vacation. And you would actually go in and change that. But all it really did was change the apps that were on your homepage. And I think a couple like toggles you could actually mess with. But if Apple ever thought of that idea, they would say it's too much work. You shouldn't have to go into your settings, go to what am I doing now, change that. But and then you also have to set up everything you want for each of those times of day.
It's too complicated. Yeah. It's so, like that's Apple's thing. It just works. Mm-hmm. Like it just
exactly. It shouldn't be something you have to take a long time setting up. I mean, how long does it take us to set up iPhones when we activate new ones? I mean, less than 5 minutes is usually the amount of time after restoring old backups and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Because they want it to make it so anybody can do it. Not people that are used to using smartphones or people that have experience with that kind of stuff. They want anybody to set
it's
up.
It's the same with a
iPhone.
Mac.
Mm-hmm.
You enter a username, you enter your iCloud account,
Get connected to Wi-Fi. And that's basically it.
And you get go, and then it's like, okay, we're done, you know? And now you can open up GarageBand or whatever, mm-hmm. do whatever you want, set up your email, that kind of thing.
Yeah, it leaves all those extra things as optional,
mm-hmm.
not as, let's get it all done right now. I really think that once we have the context-aware features, then that's going to make it a lot easier, and I could totally see Apple doing it that way.
Well, and it's going to be one of those things where it learns.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it learns the kinds of settings that you have at work, and it learns the kinds of settings you have at home,
mm-hmm.
and it automatically...
So you won't even have to set it up at all. It's just going to figure it out.
Yeah, it just figures out the way that you use the phone, and then it automatically adapts mm-hmm. so that when you get to work, you know, it automatically turns off Bluetooth, or when you get out of the car, you know, automatically turns off Bluetooth. That kind of thing. Will iBeacons be used? Do you see that? So iBeacons is a technology that they've been using and kind of sending off into various retail outlets. I know MLB stadiums, Major League Baseball stadiums have been using them. Places like Macy's have been using them. The Apple Store has them for buying stuff through the Apple app. But it's basically a way for like very immediate location data to kind of communicate with various apps. So like you walk over to the accessory section of the Apple Store, and then a little window pops up on your phone that says, do you want to look at these accessories or more information about iPads when you walk into the iPad section? You know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it uses Bluetooth 4 to like communicate that. Do you see them coming out with iBeacons to kind of set up your home, to set up different sections in your home?
Yeah, I can't think of any uses for it besides for companies. When you're at the mm-hmm. store, you know, you're in the vegetable aisle and it brings up the Safeway app telling you deals on vegetables and stuff like that. I could see that working. I'm not sure how excited people are going to be about it, and Apple loves to excite people. I can't think of any uses for in-home or...
Yeah, really. Honestly, the whole... That was just kind of a random side thought that I had when I was typing up the questions the beginning of this podcast.
I could think of some things like you're in the kitchen and it's around dinner time and it automatically knows, hey, let's bring out the recipe book. So it opens up the app or makes it available in the bottom left corner to swipe up, and then it brings up the recipe app. Maybe you've set a calendar for the week, what you want to cook, and then it brings up the recipe for that when you walk into the kitchen at 6 o'clock
or that's whatever it is. That's a good idea. Wow.
Or you're in the bathroom and it's 7:30 a.m. and it brings up your music app because you maybe...
Because you usually listen to music at that time.
Yeah, the whole context aware. Yeah, it figures out this is what he normally does, or she normally does at this time of day when they walk into the bathroom. They usually get it connected to Sonos or their Bluetooth speaker and open up music or Spotify or Google Play or whatever it is that you use, or Pandora. And then it just automatically starts going. You play a certain playlist all the time. It just starts playing. Damn. I could see that working right as you walk in to the bathroom, or you go to your bedroom, and then maybe...
You usually read books at night, so it automatically pulls up the iBooks app. But the iBooks app shows up in the bottom left.
Yeah, exactly.
You swipe up, and it's like...
The suggested app.
At the page that you were last reading it in your bedroom that night.
I can see that.
I can see that, too.
And you set up a little beacon on, like, an outlet or whatever it is... Maybe, right by your bed, or
okay.
Or how exactly? So would that work?
There's been more rumors running around too that have been saying that Apple will actually come out with a few peripherals that'll integrate with iHome or not iHome. Whoa, copyright infringement! Will come out with HomeKit, that one. probably things like an outlet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just something simple like this is like a kind of. A prime example, this is how HomeKit devices should work, you know, and they do that. They've done that with the hi-fi stereo system, and they've done that with a few other things, you know. They come out with, like they had the Bluetooth headset and the iPhone bumper case, you know. They come out with these things, and they're like, this is what the thing, you know, what our accessories should look like. So, third-party, made-for-iPhone people, you know, take note. So I think it's going to be something simple, you know, something like a little outlet plug that automatically, you know, turns a lamp on and off.
Or something that's so, it uses such little power because all it is Bluetooth or whatever kind of connection. It's just saying, oh, you're within 5 feet from me now.
Right.
And it uses such little battery that you could literally just put a watch battery in it and it'll last a year. You could just set it anywhere in the house, in your car, whatever you want to do.
Yeah. Well, and it would, like, automatically, well, that's what I was thinking. Like, if it was just, like, a little wall plug, you know, and then it had an iBeacon built into it, you know, and then they could sell those to retail outlets or, like, small businesses and be like, here, you know, put some iBeacons in your store, you know, boom.
Really easy.
Really easy. Mm-hmm. Just plug it in. But there have been rumors that that they are going to do that, that they might do that. And they do have a track record of it. And it makes sense, I think.
Yeah, I could totally see that happening. I would probably do it.
What features will just work?
Oh, man.
We were talking about the context awareness. I think that's going to be a huge part of it just working.
You know? Totally, yeah. It'll figure it out. You won't have to do anything. The only issue I ever find with that is if you want it to be a specific way that... it's not able to pick up or read. I guess that goes into the whole having it just work, but...
The Apple way is usually like they make it so that it automatically works and it works great this one way, but then you're able to go in and change it if you need to, you know, for most things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and
I still like that refrigerator idea, man.
Patent pending.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm getting on that right now.
I mean, you know, I mean, it might turn out to be something like when the iPhone came out, it was this plain, simple thing, you know. And the killer app of the iPhone was that it was a touchscreen that worked. Mm-hmm. It was an interface that worked really well with a touchscreen, and it was
one of the first capacitive screens.
Yep. It was incredibly, incredibly just kind of user-friendly. And it just, you know, made sense to everybody.
How do you get into the phone? You click on the phone button.
Right.
How do you listen to music? You click on the music button. How do you take a picture? You click on the camera button.
Well, the other killer app that came out with the iPhone was the Safari browser.
Mm-hmm.
It was that you had full internet wherever you went.
Yeah.
And that was huge. You know, and as the iPhone has evolved, it's gotten more and more complex. It's kind of turned into this full-fledged computer that lives inside your pocket now. And when it first came out, it was like a kind of dumbed-down computer. But now it's on par with your Mac, almost.
Mm-hmm. They can do a lot of the same things.
Not necessarily. You know, the Mac can do a lot more.
But, oh, yeah.
I mean, just the fact that they integrated the handoff feature, you know, just that right there.
That alone tells us how far it's come.
Exactly. That states that the phone is that powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe the iHome ecosystem is going to evolve that way. I do see the iWatch evolving that way. You know, the iWatch comes out, it's going to be super simple at first. And it does these few things really, really well.
And then eventually you're going to be writing code on it, you know, write novels.
Oh,
maybe not that far.
Yeah, maybe.
That's what you said about the iPhone.
You could do that on the iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
But the way that they're framing the Home app and the HomeKit ecosystem is so... It, like, the whole, like, bottom line of it is that it's a ginormous, complicated network that integrates all of these third-party accessories. And, yes, they are built with the same protocol, but, you know, they're basically coordinating this this new, like, infrastructure for smart devices infiltrating your home, you know. And it really will probably be 4 or 5 years before things truly get integrated into, you know, the whole home, and like really before it really catches on, you know, and people will come out with it early and be like, you know, this is awesome. But as it evolves, the technology will become cheaper and easier to manufacture. People are going to figure it out so that, you know, it makes more sense for people to code and integrate. Apple's going to learn problems and fix them. Come out with, you know, better and easier ways to integrate this system into more devices.
Do you remember Facebook back when the iPhone first came out?
Sorta.
It was really primitive compared to how it is now. I mean, there's been so many changes and just that on how, like, a mobile platform for something that could have been done. I don't know. I mean, just design overall, how quick it works, just because of how they've gotten the hardware to work so efficiently and so close, that it's just, I mean, you can do anything that you would have done normally on Facebook on the desktop application. You can do it just as easy or easier on the iPhone now,
right?
Just because they've figured out what are things that the iPhone is at least somewhat limited to. How can we fix those things? Apple releases a developer kit that makes things a lot easier for every app.
Exactly. You know, yep.
When those big apps are failing and then they find a huge solution, then Apple takes that and says, wow, this is awesome. How about everyone does that?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think this has been a pretty comprehensive look at HomeKit.
Hopefully we can talk about it again once more information is out. The beta doesn't really have much on it as of yet.
No. Well, and there will be a Home app.
Mm-hmm.
So... I'm thinking we'll probably come back to this subject after the Home app is released on the beta.
Yep.
And after more details about this whole HomeKit is kind of starts rolling out. So, so yeah, well, thank you for listening. And I just want to shout out a few names. So thanks to Ashkan Jalali, our PR director, for putting up with all of our haggling. Ali Vollen, for the general manager, for putting up with all of our craziness. David Martin, our own manager at Kirkland, for guiding us in the right direction. You, Mr. George Urich, all our coworkers at TD Curran, and of course, Mr. Troy Douglas Curran himself, for giving everyone I just listed a job. So yeah, I'm Ben Hutmaker, H-E-U-T, Maker. You can find me at Ben Hutmaker on Twitter. And you've been listening to Command Tab. It's our weekly podcast about Apple. Thank you, guys. We'll see you next week.
See you guys.
Bye.
Bye.